In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today's readings excited me. They inspired me. They made me want to rush out and proclaim Christ to the world. I hope and pray that when you leave Mass today, you'll have that same sense of excitement to go out and share your faith with all the people you meet. Today's readings are all about God's call. God has called each and every one of us, just as he called Amos in the first reading, just as he called the apostles in the gospel. You may be surprised to be lumped into the same category as an Old Testament prophet and the New Testament apostles, but they were unlikely candidates to be called, just as you and I are. Amos was a prophet in Samaria, in the northern kingdom of Israel. Amos wasn't preaching to earn money. He wasn't a professional prophet or priest. He was a simple herdsman whom God sent out to his people in Israel. Likewise, the apostles. None of them were priests or scholars or important religious figures. They were fishermen, a tax collector, simple people. And likewise us. I'm just an engineer. Some of you are laborers, some doctors, some business people, some retirees. Many of us are parents. All of us are called. But what is the nature of our call? That's where we turn to our second reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I love the Ephesians, by the way. It's my favorite book of the Bible, so if you ever want something to read, go read Ephesians if you haven't yet. It's amazing. This introduction to that letter is referred to as a canticle. It was likely used as a hymn in the early church, and it is a beautiful statement about the economy of salvation. Paul points out to us that we have been chosen by God before we were even born to be in Christ, and to receive an abundance of blessings. In fact, every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Do you feel like you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens? Well, you have. And these truly are spiritual blessings. We are not necessarily blessed with health or riches or even peace in our lives. Those things have only passing, temporary importance. The blessings we are receiving are eternal. If we want to receive the blessings that Christ has promised us, we must keep our eyes and our hearts on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. And what is the purpose of God choosing us and giving us these blessings? That we might be holy and without blemish. Well, what is holy? Holy means being separated from the world and consecrated to God. So the spiritual blessings we talked about are given to us to make us holy and without blemish here on this earth. How can this be possible? Aren't we all stained by original sin? Aren't we all human? We've all been cleansed in the waters of baptism, but haven't we all defiled that baptism with sin over and over again? I can still remember the early days of my calling to the diaconate. As I contemplated entering the program, I felt so unworthy. I knew my own sinfulness. How could I have the hubris to think that I could serve God in that way? How could God want a sinner like me? Well, my priest at the time told me something that I have held on to all these years. God does not call the holy. He makes holy those he calls. And this is true for all of us, whether we enter into holy orders or not. We are all called by God to be his adopted children in Christ. But he doesn't call us because we're already holy. He makes us holy because he called us. So how can we be made holy and without blemish? We were chosen to be God's adopted children before the world began. God predestined it. He knew, long before we were ever born, that we would choose Christ, that we would let Christ enter our hearts and accept him as our Lord. This adoption occurs at our baptism, at which point we are infused with the nature of God. We are made holy at that point, though we must still continue to be holy afterward. As St. John Chrysostom said, our being made holy is the work of him who called us, but it is also our work. We have to put in the work. But what is the secret? How do we purge sin from our lives so that we might become holy and without blemish? The key, my brothers and sisters, is to give up. Yes, give up. Give up the idea that you are in control of your life. You are never going to make your life just the way you want it. You are never going to have everything you want. You are destined to grow older. You are destined for illness and suffering. You are destined for death. The attempt to wrestle control over our lives, to always indulge our will, is a recipe for frustration, depression, and the modern angst we see everywhere around us. Turn that control over to Jesus Christ. Seek his will, not your will, just as he sought the will of the Father. Don't hold anything back, not even the little things. Give Jesus your time, prayer, and service to others. Give Jesus your money, charity to the church and to the poor. Give Jesus every aspect of your lives. Consult him to learn his will about every decision you make. Every time you want something, ask him if he wants that for you. To do this, you need to know your faith. You need to know Scripture. You need to know and accept the church's teachings, all the church's teachings. I want you to start doing two things every day in order to start aligning your will with God's will. First, every morning, I want you to say a simple prayer in your own words, but to this effect. Lord Jesus, please show me your will today. Help me to understand your will in all things I do today. And please give me the strength and wisdom to do your will, no matter how difficult that might be. Then spend some time in silence, listening for Christ's answer, listening for that little voice in the back of your mind that will communicate to you his will. Second, each night, I want you to take 10 minutes in prayer with God to look back on your day. Look at all the ways God blessed you that day and thank him for that. Thank him for another day of life, for your health and that of your family, for the kind words of a stranger, for the person who let you in traffic. All the blessings, both big and small. Then mentally step through your day and all you did. Notice when you acted according to God's will and the peace you felt as a result. Notice when you acted against God's will and the disquiet you felt as a result. These were your sins. Tell God how sorry you are for those sins and make a resolution to do better tomorrow. Make that a specific resolution too. For example, dear Lord, I promise to pay more attention at work and to stop looking at my phone while I'm supposed to be working. Not that I do that. And don't forget to take those sins to confession regularly. If you do these two things every day, a prayer for God's will in the morning and an examination of conscience in the evening, you will find that slowly you will replace your will with God's will. You will grow in holiness, and sin will slip away. And what will we do with all that, my brothers and sisters? God has called us for a reason. He is sending us out, just as he sent out Amos, just as he sent out the apostles. Just like them, you are called to spread God's word, the gospel. Proclaim Jesus to your family members. Proclaim him to your friends. Proclaim him at work. Proclaim him over social media. Proclaim him to strangers you meet on the street. Proclaim him with your actions as well as your speech. Proclaim him with your love. And as you grow in holiness, as you progress toward a state of being without blemish, this proclamation will be easier. And you will find that just like the apostles, you really can cast out demons. You can bring healing to people. You will be a source of goodness in the world, a source of transformation to our troubled nation. When Mass ends today, embrace that sense of excitement, that calling. Rush out those doors and share your faith in Christ with the world. May God bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.